This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin. The Peoria Symphony Orchestra is in concert this weekend with violinist Charles Yang. He's here along with music director George Stelluto. That concert is tomorrow night at 8 at the Peoria Civic Center, and it's good to have both of you with us today.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, Charles, you're featured in this program on music by John Corleano, a suite of music from the film The Red Violin that some of us may remember seeing a few years back. What can you tell us about this suite? What is it about this piece that appeals to you, or what have you discovered about it as you've gotten to play around in it?
Right. Well, we're actually playing the Chaconne, which is that is the first part of the suite, and is quite a concerto on its own already, you know. This is both of our first times playing this piece. It is quite new in terms of violin repertoire, but it's already accepted in the canon pretty much. People know it. A violinist play it now much more. And it's a great piece because, John Corleano, he knows how to take a melody and texturize it against that melody. You're going to hear a lot of push and pull within the percussion and solo violin. Every time there's some kind of violin solo, it's answered by I think it's the timpani, and it's just this big kind of conversation between the orchestra and the violin. And that was the idea of the movie as well, you know. It's about this violin's journey throughout time. And you can really hear that from the very beginning. It starts very, just this violin opening where it just starts with a C minor chord. And it goes from there. And then the melody comes out. You really feel the violin's journey throughout the Chaconne. And that's what it is. It's a Chaconne. It's based on a theme, and then it variates from there. John Corleano, his father was a violinist, really knows how to write for a violin. Everything is violin technique. Everything feels good in the hand. I wouldn't say feel good in the hand. There's some pretty difficult sections, but very violinistic writing.
I vaguely remember seeing the film many years ago, and my impression is that the music was very lush. It was very melodic, but it also had a lot of technique to it. It seemed like it would be a really good showpiece for a violin.
Yeah, he actually has this. He has this concerto, but also as caprices. He has solo violin caprices that take the same melody, but they're caprices for solo violin, kind of like Paganini. They're virtuosic, not only for the violin, but for the orchestra. And Maestro Stelluto will tell you later that he writes it in a pretty interesting way, how he orchestrates for the orchestra, too, where some of the conducting involves cues with a numbering system. And it's just not one performance of this is ever the same because of that. You know, there's a lot of parts where the orchestra is just playing, you know, within the cell. There's no performance that's exactly the same. So that's a really cool thing about this as well. And it's not so avant-garde that it's not understandable, because there is that defining theme, which is the Red Violin theme, which is very nostalgic and very melodic. And actually, that theme alone, it divides, you know, it kind of has a foot in so many genres. It has a Baroque vibe, kind of, but also has a romantic and a contemporary feel. It's very, it's a chameleon of a theme, you know. It's really, really cool.
Now, George, the theme of the concert is Carnival, and I think that theme is really nicely exemplified by two of the other pieces in the program. One is Stravinsky's Petrushka, and the other, I guess, is inspired by New Orleans. So I think this is maybe a piece that people aren't familiar with.
Yeah, this is a really fun piece. It's called Mardi Gras, and it's by a composer named Edward Joseph Collins. We did his Civil War opera here a couple years ago, but a lot of people don't know about him. He's actually an Illinois-born composer. He's born in Joliet, Illinois in the late 1880s. He studied piano in Chicago with a pianist named Gantz, followed Mr. Gantz to the Berlin Hochschule in the early part of the 20th century, studied composition with Bruch and Humperdinck, at the Hochschule, and was, you know, really present in that German romantic, post-romantic era where he was at Mahler's funeral. He was, he heard some of the Strauss operas premiered. I mean, an amazing time to be in the kind of Austro-German realm as far as music goes. He moved back to Chicago after the First World War, and before that he was an assistant conductor at Wagner's Bayreuth Festival. And after he moved back to Chicago, he married Oscar Mayer's daughter, which is funny, so he wasn't hurting for commissions. But the Chicago Symphony used to play his music up until he died in 1953, and this is, it's an amazing kind of part of American musical history that's just starting to reemerge, that when all these other composers, expatriate composers, are going to France, he went to Germany, and you can hear the influences of the post-romantic German compositional style in there, but with an American twist in it. So it's really a very up, very energetic piece. It's a, it's literally a tone poem like Strauss would write, and it's, and it's of about the same length as, say, Don Juan by Strauss, but a really very clever music that I think people will enjoy.
Now, I'm just curious, do you discover a piece like this and you listen to it, and as you're listening to it, you get this notion in your head that, you know, this is something that might pair really nicely with Stravinsky, that, you know, these two pieces have something in common and it seems like they kind of want to talk to each other?
Yeah, the whole idea of Mardi Gras was part of it, you know, that kind of pre-Lenten celebration that we do all over the world, and in Brazil and New Orleans, and in Russia, that was a fair that took place in St. Petersburg, and actually, historically, it did actually exist. And so this kind of, the idea of the ballet Petrushka is built around that fair, but it's kind of got a magical puppet character in it, which is Petrushka, and all the little things that go on. It's a, it's a lovely little story, but I love it because especially even at the opening, if you can imagine yourself as a little boy or a little girl and your parents are taking you to this fair the first time, and you just find yourself immersed in all of the sounds coming from every direction, it's really fantastic. So the idea, the underlying theme of Mardi Gras, Shrovetide Fair, things like that, that kind of ties it together. But both pieces, and including the Corigliano, fantastic coloristic use of the orchestra. I mean, very expressive, very evocative, and of different things and different cultures, of course, but and also kind of evocative of time itself, as Charles mentioned. So that's kind of what ties the whole program together.
Now, Charles, your visit to Peoria isn't limited just to the concert this weekend. You are in residence in the community throughout the week. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other things that you've been up to in town outside of the concert hall?
Yeah, it's a I love getting to know the community wherever I go. I rarely get to do it, but I got to do it this week. You know, went to Quest Middle School, High School. I went to Metamora High School, Sid's Burger, you know, Sid's Burgers, and you know, I love 3030 Coffee. Is it 3030 Coffee? Yeah. Kelleher's and the Brazilianaires, work with them. They're really fantastic, fantastic musicians. And really getting immersed in this, you know, community. I get to feel, I get to feel how it feels to be here, which is great. And they really embrace me here, so it's so I feel very happy to be here.
Now, George, this seems like an opportunity for the symphony to get the community engaged with your soloist in a way that perhaps in other concerts you can't do. Sometimes the soloist comes in and is only around for a few hours before the concert, but this gives you an opportunity to do a type of outreach and engagement that sometimes you can't otherwise do.
Yeah, it's part of something we call our Resident Artist Week, and it actually was partially inspired by Charles, his last visit in Peoria, and a recent visit of Mike Block, the cellist, and we just love the opportunity of the impact and the interaction of the artist with the community is more than just walking on stage, waving high, playing a great concerto or a solo piece, waving goodbye and leaving town. I mean, this is an opportunity for artists and the community to interact with each other at senior centers, at schools, through master classes, going to Kelleher's and playing with a local group like the Brazilianaires, going out to 3030 Coffee. What I love about this is the first week of our Raw initiative, and already Charles and I have been to a number of places where people have come up to him and said, "Oh yeah, you're the soloist for the symphony this weekend. Well, you know, where do I get tickets for that? You know, how do I do that?" And that's part of the interaction, is like they can actually meet and talk to this person as a human being rather than just somebody they see from 25 yards away in a concert hall.
Now, Charles, I know that one of your first stops, if not your first, was at Quest Charter Academy. Can you talk a little bit about what you did there? I mean, did you play? Did you do a demonstration? Did you have an opportunity to interact with some of the students? What was that experience?
Yeah, at Quest, you know, high school, middle school, and at Metamora High School, the main thing is to inspire the kids, you know, and sometimes we forget as performers, you know, what we do. It's like we go on stage, as George says, as a soloist, and we play a concert, and then we leave town. But how do you inspire the youth to do what you do, you know? And that's really important to me. And I have a great time in trying to inspire these kids. And this week has been really eye-opening for me as well, you know. I go there, and I just see how hungry they are hungry for inspiration, you know. And fortunately, it was a great reception from these kids. And I had a really great time just introducing to some people what a violin can do, and what they can do with music. Doesn't have to be violin, doesn't have to be anything. I was telling them how, you know, you could be singing in a shower, you could listen to different kinds of music, but as long as you know music, it is the international language, you know, and it's not something that you can just say, I don't know about. Everyone in life knows about music.
And actually, you know, Charles is known for his ability to play everything from Bach and Mozart to, you know, Hotel California and Bohemian Rhapsody and kind of these improvisational virtuoso versions of these pieces. Well, this was, you know, the idea of the Resident Artist Week is perfect with the idea of interaction, because we walked into Quest High School, and as we're walking in the door, one of the students is up there doing a kind of a Quest High School rap to the kids while we're waiting.
Awesome. Yeah.
And then Charles was like, "Hey, why don't you come up and like we'll improvise something together?" Okay. So boom, you know, they immediately, you had a really great interaction between a guest artist and a, you know, a budding rap artist, perhaps,
right,
in front of a group of people that knew who this guy was, and they're impressed by Charles, but they're also impressed by what can happen locally.
Yeah, and the fact that we, you know, literally walked through the door, saw this guy rapping, thought he was amazing. The fact that we met for 2 seconds and then made music together that was both improvised was just that's inspiring to me. It's inspiring to the kids as well. They're like, "Oh, we could do that, you know, we could do that." And to also think that I hate to think that I'm an artist and I'm unreachable, you know, there's no interaction. But you know, sometimes you think of people on the stage and you know, you're in the audience and you think, "Oh, I'll never be able to really get to know this person." I don't want to be that, you know. I don't want some kind of celebrity or anything. I want to know who I'm playing for, and I want them to know who I am. So that was really important to me, to be able to interact with the youth here, people that we need to come to our shows a lot more in classical music. So
we've been talking with violinist Charles Yang and conductor George Stelluto about the Peoria Symphony Orchestra's concert Carnival. It's tomorrow night at the Peoria Civic Center Theater. And again, thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you
so much.
And the Hartman Center Gallery at Bradley University is hosting an exhibit called "The Artwork is Perfect, But Can I See a Sheep or Two Next to the Kissing Lovers?" The exhibit features a dozen playbill posters from the last two seasons at Bradley Theater, and it speaks to the collaboration between the directors of the productions and the graphic designer who created the publicity material. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers. And you can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.